Okay, so today's lesson is called The Downward Spiral. We're also going to look at the upward path. Hopefully I'll not run out of time, but the downward spiral. It's the consequences of following your own natural instincts rather than God's plan for change as outlined in the Word. So before we dive into the lesson, let me just tell you about your handout package. So there is, like I said, do we have another one here? No? Okay. Here, I've got one here. Yeah, sorry. So I've put it all in a package. I got some good feedback last week that the pages should be numbered. So when I say go to this thing, you're going to know where it is. So I'll be able to tell you, oh, it's page 6 or whatever. But the first page is our biblical principles. And remember, this is kind of the overarching theme. And then we teach about those sort of things. So today you'll see we have 3 sections, but we've got 5 principles. So I'm not going to focus so much on the principles, but we are going to read them, and then we're going to be filling out what it really is talking about. The next pages are back-to-back, and there's actually 2 sets of lessons, part 1 and part 2. And when I took this in biblical counseling training, it was 2 weeks of hour and a half classes. So 3 hours, and we're going to do 1 hour, okay? So might have to talk fast. And then at the end is the beginnings of biblical change. So we're going to go through that quickly. But again, when I give you these and there's scriptures in there, I'm not going to touch on even half of these scriptures, but you take this home and in your study time, work your way through it, okay? And then on the back is the upward path, walking God's way. So that's at the end, so don't cheat and look at it yet. Let's go look at the biblical principles page, and I'm going to just read the box there at the top. And this is just kind of an overarching idea. It's not really the principle, but it's to get us into the study. So biblical change begins with your spiritual birth and continues throughout your life. Your purpose for living changes from a focus of living for self to one of dying to self as you learn to love God and love others in a biblical manner. So let's read under the downward spiral, Principle 10, God's thoughts and ways are far higher, superior than yours, and his word is truth. If you neglect or refuse God's ways or his truth, you will experience ever-increasing problems, and the problems you have will grow worse. So we have to deal with it, right? We can't just let it go on. So what are the consequences of following your own way instead of God's way? So if you turn the page and you get to Lesson 5, Part 1, it's page 2. I've paged it down in the bottom right hand, okay? So page 2 is what we're going to look at. Hopefully this is going to make it a little easier for you. I can't promise I'm going to have them every week, but it just so happened this week it aligned very well with what I was teaching. So we're going to start by talking about the downward spiral, which is the consequence of following your own way. And in your homework for this week, you'll walk through an example of this that will help you see the actual spiraling of one young man, what he experiences. So it'll give you another scenario kind of like this, and then it'll walk you through it. So problems start in the heart, right? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." And a couple other passages you can look at later also speak to problems starting in the heart. So you can make a note of them on here if you want. Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. That's Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, and then Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. Mark 7, 20 through 23. So, problems start in the heart, and heart problems lead to unbiblical deeds, which are thoughts, words, and actions. So problems start in the heart, and the heart problems lead to the unbiblical deeds, and unbiblical deeds may be accompanied by and often lead to bad feelings. So as in your homework, it's going to show the result of this young man, what he had in his heart, what he, you know, the heart issue here, and what his deeds and thoughts and actions were. And then he ends up feeling guilty and depressed and so forth. So that's the bad feelings that come out of it. And as we talked about last week, talking about psychology just wants you to say, oh, no, feel good, it's okay, and change maybe some of your behaviors. So that's the difference between God's way and man's way, right? So how do people fall away? That's what we're talking about in the downward spiral. If you turn to Romans 1 with me, we're going to look at the heart of the pagan or the unbeliever. And I'm not going to read this whole passage, but I will walk you through it. So it's Romans 1. And the passage is 18 through 32. So Romans 1, 18 through 32. And again, you can follow along, and there's some blanks to fill in the worksheet, but feel free to make whatever notes you want. Okay, Romans 1. Okay, so 18 and 19 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." So that's the introduction of what Paul's addressing here. And then in verses 20 and 21, what does it say, starting at the end of 20 and the first half of 21? "So that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." So the blank here is willingly. Man willingly rejects God. Man willingly rejects God, right? And then if we read the rest of 21 through 22, it says, "But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." So under 1A2, man becomes more depraved with a darkened heart and is called a fool. That's what God says. And then what does God do about that? Let's look at verse 24. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." The phrase "God gave them up," that's a judicial term in Greek, and it's used for handing a prisoner over to his sentence. So there's been a sentence passed, and we're handing him over. So in verse 24, God gave them up or over to uncleanness. And then in verse 26, it says, "For this reason, God gave them up or over to vile passions." And verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." So number three is God gives them over, and he's handing them over. This is the sentence I'm passing on you. And then going down to verse 32, or turn the page if you have a Bible like mine. "Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." So number four is man sinks to his lowest and entices others to do the same. Entices others. So man willingly rejects God. Man becomes more depraved with a darkened heart and is called a fool. God gives them over, and man sinks to his lowest and entices others to do the same. This is the downward spiral in the heart of the pagan, those who are not God's people. Now let's turn to Jeremiah 2, which gives us the picture of the downward spiral in the heart of the Jews. And Jeremiah is kind of in the middle of the Bible. It's right after Isaiah. It's the second book of the major prophets. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2. So verse 2 says, "Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown." Here we see God's heart. This is God's heart. He's thinking back to when the Jewish people loved him. They worshiped him. They desired him. In verse 2, we see God's heart. But by verse 5, we see a different picture. "Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols and become idolaters?" God is letting them know, and us, that it wasn't him that left. He isn't to blame. He isn't to blame. That's the number two there, the fill in the blank. They left him. They deserted him for idolatry. And then verse 6 says, "Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt?" They forgot God. So under B3, the answer is they forget God. And that's a typo on the page. It says "the," but add a Y to that and make it "they." They forgot God. Okay, and then we go down to verse 11 through 13a. And it says, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory," with a capital G. That's talking about God, "for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." So that's the first evil that they've done. And we see that they abandoned God, right? They changed their glory for what does not profit. They abandoned God, the God who was the source of spiritual salvation and sustenance, which is indicated by God referring to himself as the fountain of living waters. And then verse 13b, we're on the top of page 3 now. 13b shows the second of their evils. "And they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." God is saying that instead of looking to him, the fountain of living waters, for spiritual salvation and sustenance, Israel turned to idols, the idolatrous objects of trust. And Jeremiah compares these to these underground devices that store rainwater, but they're broken and they let the water seep out, so they make themselves useless, right? And isn't that a good picture of idols? You know, we make these idols to replace God, and yet it's a hunk of wood or metal or whatever they're made out of. It has no power. It is worthless and useless. So we see that they turned their trust to something else. They turned their trust from God to something else. They chose to trust themselves and their own invented idols. I mean, idols are just out of man's evil imagination. Then verse 19, God says, "Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Number B6 is fear. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. We see that they have lost their fear of God. Then verse 23 says they were deceived, and God describes the backslider as a frantic camel in heat looking for a mate. So if you've ever seen animals when they're in heat, there's nothing that's going to stop them from finding a mate. Just saying, okay? So we don't have to go into any more detail. But this is referring to Israel's promiscuity and idolatrous worship because they didn't follow God's commands to destroy and then later live separately from, because they didn't destroy the pagans that were in the promised land. Remember, they go into the promised land and God says, kill them all. And they said, well, that's kind of harsh and hard, and we'll just let them live there, and, you know, we'll subdue them. But we saw then that those idolatrous people infected God's people, right? So verses 26 and 30 is the next section, but I'm going to just read verse 30. In vain I have chastened your children. They received no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. In B8, God shows that they turn their back on his chastening. On his chastening. And chastening just means discipline or correction. And then in verse 35, God says, yet you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead my case against you, because you say, I have not sinned. So they claim their innocence. They claim their innocence. And finally, we reach the end of the spiral when verse 37 says, indeed, you will go forth from him with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them. God rejects them. That's the end of the downward spiral. God rejects them. So in one chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 2, we see this downward spiral of the Jews from God's perspective, right? So he's calling them out on that. So we see God's heart. God lets them know it wasn't him that left. He is not to blame. They forget God. We see that they abandoned God. They turned their trust to something else. They lost their fear of God. They were deceived, and God describes the backslider as a frantic camel in heat looking for a mate. They turned their back on God's chastening. They claim their innocence, and then God rejects them. What a sad story, right? But this is what happens when we fall away. So let's take a quick look at something we also looked at last week, the biblical example from Genesis 4, 3 through 17. So we don't need to read that passage. You can read it later if you don't recall all of this. But I'm going to walk you through this downward spiral. So remember, Cain brought his offering. Abel brought his offering. So in that, Cain sinned. And we can piece it together that it was probably related to he did not bring an offering that God required. Or he didn't bring it in the manner God required. So Cain sinned. Whatever the sin exactly was, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it's related to this offering. And then God rejected Cain's sacrifice, and Cain became angry and depressed. Remember, God said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? So he reacted, right? His emotions were showing, and his bad fruit was showing. So God counseled or chastened Cain to do the right thing, but Cain rejected God. And then what happened? Cain kills Abel, his brother, right? And then we see, according to Jeremiah 2, Cain claims his innocence. He lies to God. Cain says, I don't know what happened to Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? He knew what happened to Abel, because he did it, right? And then God rejects Cain. He sends him away as a fugitive and vagabond for the rest of his life. That was Cain's downward spiral. Item D on page 3 points us to the wisdom from Proverbs. It says Proverbs 1, 25 through 32, but cross out 25 and write in 8. Start in verse 8 and go through verse 32 again when you get home. But what this passage shows us in summary is the result of rejecting or neglecting God's wisdom. That's the blanks there. Rejecting or neglecting his wisdom. And from 8 through probably to close to 25, it's all about this is how you should act. And then it shows you how they didn't, how badly that you could act. And so that would be rejecting or neglecting God's wisdom, where 8 through 24 is this is what it looks like to live in God's wisdom. And then point E on page 3 is wisdom from James. So cross out the 13 and make that a 12. So James 1, 12 through 15. And that should be familiar to you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So, sin is a cancer, just like we get cancer in our bodies. Sin is a cancer. It wants to destroy us. It lies under the surface, and like cancer in our bodies, you may not know it until it's too late. Sin, when it's left hidden, grows like cancer. Sin is within, and it doesn't want to take over just a part of you. It wants to take over all of you. Like if cancer's not treated, that takes over your whole body, right? So sin is the same. It's inside of you. It's in your heart. Most people read this passage and see three components: temptation, sin, and death. But they're missing one key component that's key to what we're studying. What takes you down the path of temptation is your own desires or lust. And that's verse 14. You can have desires for good things that can get you into trouble. And you can have desires for bad things that will surely get you into trouble. But the desire in verse 14 doesn't have to be evil. It can be a good desire or a bad desire. Bad desires will obviously get you in trouble. But you can desire something that God loves, and it too can drive you to sin. It's your own intense, strong, passionate desires. And when temptation comes along, you can be enticed because of those desires, even good desires. And then it conceives and gives birth to sin. So there's four pieces in James, not James 1, not 3. Desires, temptation, sin, and death. So just one quick way to look at it. We can have a desire for a strong marriage, like really Karen had. She didn't want her marriage to fail, right? But that desire became something she was willing to sin to get. And a good marriage is not a bad desire, right? But if you're willing to sin to get it, or you're going to sin if you don't have it, then you can see how a good desire can become a bad desire. And then, let's see, an example from real life, F, on page 3. If you think about angry and depressed people, if they don't address their problems, do you think they're going to get better? No. Do you know any angry people who all of a sudden are pleasant and not angry? No, probably not. They usually get worse, right? Most people just don't get over the anger and say, oh, I'm great now. That's not how it works, right? When we neglect or reject God's ways, the situation always gets worse. That's what God's word tells us. It's going to get worse. So why do people fall away? Roman numeral 2 on the top of page 4. People fall away because of a focus on self. A focus on self. And then letter A, we see that when they are focused on self, they do exactly what they have purposed in their hearts to do instead of what God wants them to do. So the blanks are they have purposed in their hearts to do instead of what God wants them to do. And then under letter A, to the left of all those verses, write Mark 7:20-23. And in Mark 7, the Pharisees have come to Jesus and asked why his disciples don't do the ritual or ceremonial hand washing of their hands before they eat. And he gives them an answer, and then later when they're in private, the disciples say, what did that explanation mean? We don't get it. And then Mark 7:20-23 says, and he, Christ, said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil things. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So we've talked about that, and we talked about it this morning with Karen's heart. What comes out of the heart defiles you. From the heart of men and women proceed evil thoughts, not from outside of you, but from your very heart. People do what they do because of what's in their heart. And then Matthew 15:3-20, number one there, under A, your heart defiles you. That's what that passage will tell you. And again, I encourage you to read these scriptures yourself so you can see it. Number two, Cain did what he wanted to do. Number three, adulteries are committed in the heart even. Number four, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And number five, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. People do what they do because what's in their hearts is what's driving them. People lose their way. I'm going to just give you a few ways that one pastor said people lose their ways, and this isn't in any particular order, but they are contributing factors. And this is going to be quick because I need to give you guys some time at table time. Okay, the first contributing factor is sin. If you don't take care of it quickly, you will lose your way. So we talked about angry people. If they don't take care of that anger, it's going to get worse. Another one is not trusting God's sovereignty. If you can't accept what God has allowed in your life, you will lose your way. A lack of prayer. If you aren't praying, you're headed for trouble. A lack of gratitude. Amber mentioned that when we were doing the fruit tree. And that's a gratitude for blessings and trials. God's word says trials are a gift, and we should be grateful for gifts, even when they're trials, because God's doing something in us. Forgetting God, we saw that already in our lesson. That will make you lose your way if you forget about God. Not controlling your emotions. This is a big one for women. If we allow our emotions to rule us, instead of us ruling or controlling our emotions, we've probably already lost our way. And then not accepting forgiveness from God or from others. And this drives you further into sin. It's subtle, but it's dangerous. If you cannot believe that God can forgive you your sins, you are prone to lose your way because you're probably thinking it's all on you and you're the one that's going to work your way out of the sin and earn your forgiveness. Another one is you stop learning. Your quest for truth goes down. And this can happen easily. You might be so busy with your marriage, your kids, or a career that you don't find time to read and study. So besides reading and studying your Bible, I would recommend that you always be reading another book that's pointing you to God. It's describing something in the Bible. It could even be like Table Talk that I've read out of the last couple of weeks from Ligonier. But something that is drawing you closer to God or helping you figure out your heart issue. Whatever it is that you're constantly trying to learn God's truth. And if you need a recommendation, your table leaders can probably give you one, or Tiffany, or I can give you one. Just ask. Your love for evangelism goes down. So we should always be praying for someone specific to come to Christ. If we don't care about anyone that's lost, there's probably something wrong in our life. We've become too isolated. We are not of the world, but we are in it. And we are called to care for the people who are our neighbors, who are in our path, right? So I think everybody in this room probably has someone that they know that doesn't know the Lord. And we have to care about them, and we have to bring them before God in prayer and beg for their salvation. So I encourage you to do that. And the last one is self-explanatory. Spiritual things being mocked doesn't bother you anymore. And you might even laugh. Okay, so that's how people lose their way. And we're going to take a break now and go to the table time.